My name is Mark Fletcher from the Trust Communications team, and for this episode, I'm delighted to be chatting with Joe Probyn, who's not only the deserved winner of the Fantastic Place to Work Award at MPFT's recent Big Awards Night, but is also invited to attend the NHS Heroes event at 10 Downing Street to celebrate the NHS's 75th birthday. So I think it's fair to say you're in the presence of an MPFT legend and someone who epitomises the very best of the NHS, so I'll big you up there, Joe. We'll start with that NHS Heroes event. How was that for you?
Thank you, Mark. I'm really delighted to be here. So, and very hard to hear myself described as a legend.
Well, you are.
But thank you. The legend event was an absolutely amazing experience. I mean, initially, I thought it was a joke. I wasn't sure why somebody would possibly want to invite me to Downing Street to celebrate the NHS's 75th birthday. But it was such an honour to represent the Trust and the forensic teams. And I guess it was mind-blowing to be in a place that I'd seen on the television, walking past the portraits of the past prime ministers, being in the space where I'd seen Barack Obama and other people, and just thinking about all the fantastic and really difficult things that happened there, you know, and of course I've got to give a shout out to the, you know, the fact that I was there celebrating the birth of the NHS 75 years ago. So overall, great.
And what were your sort of abiding memories of kind of the being around other esteemed NHS individuals? I'm sure they're all feeling similar to you in terms of just soaking it all in terms of just your memory of that. And I'm aware that you got a chance to speak to some dignitaries as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There were so many members of staff there from all across the different integrated care systems. And listening to their stories about what they'd done during COVID, the initiatives that they'd been part of, it was such a privilege, but also an opportunity to learn, and obviously also to shout out about all the great stuff that we do here at the Trust. And it was great for me to be able to speak to Ruth May at great length about nurses and the nursing opportunities and challenges that there are. And it was, well, you can probably tell, you know, it still feels quite overwhelming to me to be in a space, you know, to see, I didn't speak to Rishi Sunak or Steve Barclay, but to see them in the space was overwhelming.
So move to yourself a bit more. So tell us a bit more about you yourself and your role within the MPFT.
So I have worked in MPFT since 2003, and I'm really proud to be an occupational therapist. My current role is of head of forensics. When I was nominated for the award, I was working for the forensic community team. So my core team's changed, but I'm still all about team forensics.
And could you just say a bit more about what forensics is for those who potentially don't know?
Of course, yeah. So forensics, here we've got in our trust, we've got 8 inpatient wards, and we've got the forensic community team. We've got 4 wards called the Hatherton Centre at the St George's site in Stafford. We've got a ward called Ellesmere, which is our learning disability inpatient ward, again on the Staffordshire site, St George's, and we've got 2 low secure mental health wards at the Redwoods called Clee. What secure, sometimes called secure services as well, what secure services are, we offer a highly specialised mental health and learning disability and autism service for offenders with mental health or learning disabilities and any others who may benefit from an environment which moving people from an environment that can't manage their risk to themselves mainly, but also to others. We work with all men in our inpatient services, but our community services covers Staffordshire, the whole of Staffordshire, the whole of Shropshire and Wolverhampton, and that is for men and women coming out of our secure inpatient services, not just across Staffordshire and Shropshire, but also across the West Midlands and actually anywhere in the UK, if their home is in Staffordshire, Shropshire or Wolverhampton. So the patients that we work with usually have been found guilty of committing an offence and are considered a risk to other people. We obviously have to work with that, but we are trying to treat their mental health condition, their learned disability, or help people to find strategies to manage, live well with their autism and obviously their learned disability.
And how did you find yourself? So how did you get yourself into that particular position? It's a highly specialised role and a highly specialised team. So could you just sort of talk a little bit about how you found yourself leading that particular team?
So I spent most of my career working in adult mental health. In 2014, I got the opportunity to be able to apply for a position over in secure services as the allied health professional lead. So the AHP lead supports the allied health professionals, so occupational therapy, physiotherapy, speech and language therapy, dietetics, podiatry. So in forensics, we have occupational therapy, physiotherapy, speech and language therapy, and dietetics, rather than any of the others. So after I worked doing that I will have been in secure services for 10 years in 2024. But earlier this year, I had the opportunity to apply for the head of forensic services.
Right.
So that's how I found my role changed. But when I was the AHP lead, I also was developing the first team, and I was their service lead, their team leader. Handed that over now, so I'm in really safe hands. I'm really pleased with the direction that the team's going in. So I'm still quite close to the first, but I'm getting closer to the 8 inpatient wards, which is great too.
And you mentioned there about how pleased you are with the direction the team's going. And I think it's fair to say a good reason for that is the leadership that you've shown. And I think that reflects on the award win, Fantastic Place to Work award win that you deservedly won earlier this year. And one of the reasons that you were nominated for that award, as I understand, and you mentioned a little later on about the work that other colleagues in the NHS have done during COVID, is the impact that you've had on your team through some really tough times during COVID. Can you talk me through some of the changes you brought about to create that positive work culture and sort of the impact you think that that's had on the team?
Yeah, and I think it's really important for me to say. I mean, obviously, I was leading that team and I was a part of it. But I think the team itself, is made up of some fantastic individuals. So I'm really honoured to have been singled out, and likewise with the award. But I can't take all the credit for it. I mean, what I recall from the time of COVID was the sudden transition to home working and the increase in stress, the change to digital solution. Microsoft Teams being obviously one of the biggest things, and the team really needed to continue supporting those patients in the community. Clearly, we were a core team. The patients still were representing a potential risk and needing support to manage and their mental health condition and live well in their local community, and they were struggling themselves. There was so much confusion, and how we communicated really, really changed. We weren't able to get together in a room and have those corridor conversations, or just run something past somebody, or, have somebody pick up that you were having a bad day without you having to say that because you could just see, because you knew the person so well, and you know, they weren't drinking their coffee in the same way. So what I did alongside the team was that we set up a daily catch-up that was clinical. We had a space on Microsoft Teams for a coffee and chat that was once a week, every Friday, and people could come or go to that. We had a quiz that was, we could still connect outside of work. And notice that the supervisions that I was delivering were much, much more about listening than being directive. And I think we started to have some conversations about the team and how it was functioning, because we just had that little bit more space. We started to think about how we could really get that diversity of view. And so it was okay for us to disagree. And I really tried to encourage that debate as long as it was respectful. Try and really hear from people. And I was in a really lucky position that the provider collaborative that we're part of was offering some opportunity to have to bid for monies for an inequalities, diversity and inclusivity lead.
Okay.
And so we were able to recruit into that post and then ultimately get that post made permanent, substantive. And I think as a result of going through that process, I started to really think about what do we need to do? Is all the language that we're using helpful and healthy? How can it feel psychologically safe to say that's not okay to say that, actually, whether that's about a colleague or about a patient? And suddenly we started to do a bit of that and have a bit of a conversation. And we did it in a bit of a jokey way, you know, so people would say, oh, that's a little bit of a sexist comment, and or, you know, that's not very kind to that particular diagnosis. And it sort of became a bit of a, not a joke, it wasn't a joke, but it became a part of the culture that it was kind of okay for us to say, actually, I'm not very comfortable with this. And but we did it in a helpful and healthy way. The other thing about COVID and that time was that it wasn't just me, but I felt that it was kind of okay to be authentic and say that it was really scary and difficult and we didn't know what we were doing. And as a leader, sometimes that can be quite difficult.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because I'm sure you weren't immune to the issues that were happening during that time, tough times for you, no doubt, alongside everybody else. And so, and then at the same time, you've got to lead that team. So how would you dealt with that yourself in sort of dealing with some of the tough times, and how you sort of apply your own sort of values and personal values to sort of getting yourself through that and then sort of continue to lead that team?
Yeah, I think that's really critical, actually, because often people look, you know, I know I look to my leaders, my role models, for how to behave. So I was quite conscious of that. And yeah, being very honest and transparent, and also trying to put a focus on my own well-being and saying, you know, I've had enough today. You know, I'm going to finish a bit earlier, or, you know, let's switch the emails off this evening. We need to take some time out, encouraging people and doing myself, taking that walk, you know, just taking that little bit of time for myself and sharing that's really needed, putting that focus on well-being, and that you can't support other people if you're not well yourself.
Absolutely. So where would you say the team is now? From, you know, we are hopefully, our back is largely turned on the COVID pandemic. I know COVID is with us, but in terms of the pandemic, we've largely managed to move successfully forwards from there. But How would you say the team is now compared to then, sort of taking on board all the stuff you just said previously about the changes that you made and sort of the, well, they were made within the team as well, and sort of bringing that team, the team along. So just summarize that somewhat for us, if you can.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the team now is in a great place. I mean, we've got so many people stepping up into leadership positions. You know, somebody that was in the team as a community forensic mental health nurse has picked up a leadership role, team lead role. Shingi is our equality, diversity and inclusivity lead for more than the team, for forensics. The team has won some extra money from Reach Out, our commissioner and provider collaborative, to expand the team. They are looking at really building some fantastically trusting relationships with our key stakeholders, obviously people in the, you know, the patients, housing providers, education in the community, as well as working on maintaining the roles with our inpatient colleagues, our secondary service colleagues. They're doing some great work around that. I'm trying to think really innovatively about how they can support that transition out from hospital into the community, because forensic secure inpatient stays are often a couple of years. So people really need that extra support, and they're just trying to think about how to do that, how to work with our peer recovery workers, how to use lived experience better to support process, how to how our support time recovery worker can really work with the local community so people can not just be free of symptoms or even just manage with their symptoms, but can really thrive.
And just coming back to yourself, just the last couple of questions. I mean, the trust has a set of values which we as a trust wish for staff to follow in terms of making MPFT a fantastic place to work. And there are three values which the trust has on its website. So you can see that at our website, mpft.nhs.uk. Which would you say is the trust, one of the trust values that you say means the most to you as an individual?
The one that really, really resonates with me is putting people at the heart of what we do, because I feel like that is so essential to everything. Mm. Today, one of our modern matrons was doing an induction day for our new registered mental health nurses coming onto the inpatient units. And it just struck me that we really need to care individually for our staff so that they can do a really good job, so that they've got the headspace and, I suppose, the psychological, physical, cognitive abilities to be able to deliver a really excellent service and to think about, well, what can we do differently? Because we need to be continually improving and never being satisfied with where we are. And if you don't put people at the centre of that and really try and individualise what you're doing, whether that's operationally or clinically, you can't offer the service that you would want to. So that one really resonates with me.
Yeah, I thought you might say that one, actually. and a final question, mentioned about fantastic place to work. So why is making MPFT a fantastic place to work important to you personally?
I guess for the reasons that I articulated with that last value, really. The reason that I came to work for MPFT was because I wanted to improve the lives of the service users and the patients. And in order to do that, you have to make the working environment fantastic too. And if you don't keep thriving and pushing for that, then you run the risk of settling for things. We really want to make life better for people. And, you know, and I realise that's a trust. You know, we want to make life better for our communities. I feel like making it a fantastic place to work fits that brief. It helps the community. We can employ local people stay. So, I mean, for us, it's a regional service, but there are still people, obviously, in Staffordshire, Shropshire. It's just so core to everything.
That's a nice place to leave it. Thank you. So that's it for this MPFT podcast. You can subscribe and listen to previous episodes by searching for the MPFT podcast via the usual platforms. It just leaves me to say a big thank you to our guest, official NHS hero, Joe Probyn, and also to thank you for listening. Thanks very much, Joe, and bye-bye.